This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us for today's program. Have you ever heard this phrase, Bible stories, or the Bible story? Or how about this one, the greatest story ever told? When I was a kid, there was a movie that was on TV called The Greatest Story Ever Told, and it was a story about Jesus Christ. It talked about His life, it talked about His death, His burial, His resurrection, what He was all about, and it was a very interesting story. You can go from Genesis to Revelation in your Bible, and throughout this book, you will find story after story after story. You can think of Noah and the ark. You can think of Mary and the angel Gabriel. You can think of Satan going up to heaven to talk about Job. We can talk about the story of Moses, the story of Abraham, Adam and Eve. And all of these individuals, you know about them because of the fact you've heard their story. Now, let me ask a question. Why are stories so prevalent in the Bible? We even have history in the Bible, but it's told through stories, which is much better than getting a lecture on history, because science tells us that giving someone a lecture versus giving them the same information in a story, what happens in the stories is both sides of your brain, the left and right hemisphere, are engaged. Memory is greatly engaged, and it's better to convey information through a story than a straight lecture. I'm going to talk a little bit about some of that scientific information around storytelling and why stories are so powerful. When you look at a lot of leadership books today, you will find in many of them, they talk about using stories as a tool to lead other people. It's amazing the prevalence of leadership books talking about storytelling and the power of storytelling. Now, let's go back to the beginning. Who created the brain of man? Of course, God did. Did God know something about how He was going to convey His truth to mankind? Through stories. Is there a reason for that? I believe there is. I believe God had this all figured out from the beginning, and I want to impart some information today on the power of storytelling. And towards the end of today's program, we'll get a little bit into the fact that Jesus taught using stories. He taught using parables, and we'll talk a little bit about parables on today's program. Before we go to any of that, though, what we want to do is we want to offer you some free literature, and we also want to offer you a free CD on today's program. Now, what we are offering today is the free booklet titled, How to Study Your Bible. In order to understand what all these stories are telling us, we need to know how to study our Bible. Please order this free booklet, How to Study Your Bible. I also want you to get the free full-length sermon CD titled Parables by one of our elders, Mr. Wayne Hendricks. This CD will address the way Jesus taught His disciples, the vehicle that He used, among other things, but parables were very prevalent in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Get How to Study Your Bible and the CD Parables free of charge by calling toll-free 1-888-578-2673. 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or you can order by visiting our website. Go to www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. You can also go to our website to learn more about our weekly sermon broadcast. Go to www.cgi.org. Welcome back, those of you that were with us at the top of today's program. What we're talking about today is the power of storytelling. And this plays a major part in understanding why so many of the stories in the Bible are remembered and understood and continued to be passed on from generation to generation. Storytelling is a powerful vehicle for conveying messages, information, and insight to the human brain. And I'm going to be talking today about what science is learning about storytelling, along with much more. Now, when we think of storytelling, we must go back to the beginning. Writing was not something that humans were doing when they first came on the scene. So how could they convey and communicate with each other? Well, they began to do it through storytelling. Before we had anything written about the Bible, we had stories that were passed on from one person to another on what had happened previously to this family and that particular family. Those stories were passed on, and then finally they were written down. So obviously this was a necessity to learn how to tell stories in order to communicate and pass information along when we go back in human history. But science is learning some tremendous insights into the power of storytelling today, and I want to pass that along, keeping in mind that God in His book uses storytelling. I believe that God knew the power of storytelling, how it impacts the human brain, and I want to pass that information along to you when we think of our stories that are familiar to us in the Bible. Now, we all know that we have two sides of our brain. There's a left hemisphere and there's a right hemisphere in our brain. The left hemisphere basically deals with words, with numbers, with logic, with linear thinking. The right side of the brain thinks about color. It thinks about texture. That's where your imagination resides. Your creativity is within the right hemisphere of the brain. So what storytelling does, according to the research experts, is it hits both sides of the brain at the same time. It causes both sides of the brain to fire off and also connect because of the overlap that you find within a story. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Let's pretend I'm giving you a lecture right now, and I'm talking about someone who is very confident. And in this lecture, I say something like, the individual was very confident, and he did this, that, and the other thing. Now hear that sentence. Now listen to this sentence. The individual was like a roaring lion, and he did this, that, and the other thing. Now, he was confident versus he was a roaring lion. Now, when I heard this little example the first time and I heard confident, I kind of had a word flash in my mind. I was staying in one part of the brain. But when I say he was like a roaring lion, it brought this picture to my mind of a lion roaring, which I've seen on TV before. I also had a picture of the king of the beasts eating a gazelle or a zebra or something. And I saw this power within these various pictures that popped into my mind when I heard roaring lion as opposed to the word confident. That's what stories do. They link us to other memories that we have. Unlike words, which you get in a lecture, do not have the same capacity to link to other parts of the brain and memories that you have. So the more vivid, the more you put into a story, the greater the chance of those memories being hit upon when that is registering in your brain. That is part of this power of storytelling that the researchers are discovering. And there is scientific evidence that proves storytelling is a better vehicle of conveying information than a strict lecture. You can go out there and do the research. I'm going to give you one study in particular. This was done by a fella named P.R.J. Simons in 1984. And Simons was teaching a number of classes for students who were studying electricity. And in some of the classes that were being taught, they would only give the students strict lecture format. That's the only way they were conveying the information to them. In other classes that they were teaching these students electricity, they told stories relating to electricity. It wasn't just a straight lecture. Once they got the test results over a semester's time frame, they found that the students who got the stories did better on their tests than the students who were not getting the stories. So again, there's a lot of research on this that shows that using storytelling, you are hitting the brain in so many more ways because both sides of the brain are communicating, both sides of the brain are going for memories and things of that nature that strict lecture does not do, because only the left hemisphere is being engaged when you're just using words in your descriptions. Another point that I'd like to make about storytelling has to do with your brain and how your brain works. Now, your brain is active, and depending upon what state you are in, whether you are conscious or asleep or whatever, your brain continues to work. Now, I'm going to go through the four levels of brain activity and then explain how storytelling is impacted within that. What scientists tell us is that at our most heightened state of awareness, they call this the beta level. This is what we call conscious, wide awake state. Now, when you think about this, you might think that your conscious, wide awake state, the beta level, is when we could take in the greatest amount of information, when we would be doing the best at hearing what somebody is telling us. But what science is telling us is no, that is not true. That when we are at our most conscious and wide awake state, that is not necessarily the best brain mode to be in to learn information. Now keep that in mind. When you're at the beta level, your brain is cycling at 14 to 21 cycles per second. When we drop down to the next highest level, they call that the alpha level, the relaxed awareness level. And believe it or not, science tells us, and they have proven, that at this relaxed state of awareness, that is the best state of awareness to be in, to take in information, to learn information. Your brain is cycling at 7 to 14 cycles per second at the alpha level. If we drop down to the third level, we are now at what they call the theta level. This is when you're on the edge of sleep. You're not asleep yet, but you're very close. You're still awake, but not greatly awake. They call that the theta level. The cycles in the brain at that point are 4 to 7 cycles per second. And finally, when you are asleep, they call that the delta level. The brain is functioning at 0.5 to 4 cycles per second. But believe it or not, even when you are asleep, the brain is taking in data. The brain has awareness. Your unconscious brain does take in information even when you're asleep. The brain is an unbelievable invention by God. But let me reiterate this. When you are at the alpha level, the relaxed awareness state, that is the best state to be in to take in information for the brain to hook into it and really get that information. Now, why might that be? Let's think about that for a minute. When you're wide awake, when you're really self-aware, and you're watching out for things, what's happening to you? Sometimes you're a little bit nervous. Also, think about taking a test. When you're taking a test, you want to be as wide awake as you can, but that leads to a little nervousness, a little overexcitement. That's what happens when we're wide awake. We're a little more pushing it a little more than we should be. You also want to think of this from the standpoint of when you're relaxed, when you are not worrying about things, you can take that test a little bit better than if you are worried about taking that test when you get up to that beta consciousness level. So it does make sense. And there was a fellow named Georgi Lazanov who did some research on this. What he found was playing music at the alpha level, the relaxed awareness state, decreased the heart rate of individuals. So he found that if you could play music in the background, music that people liked, this might be conducive to making it easier to take in information in the brain, because you got people down from that heightened awareness state down to the next level, the relaxed awareness state. Some other things that scientists have discovered is, besides music, and again, I'm not talking about heavy metal music here to get to that relaxed awareness state. I'm talking about different types of music that can do that. There are other methods to employ to get people to that relaxed awareness state. Some of these methods include meditation, deep breathing, relaxation, and, bingo, storytelling. When we are about to listen to a story, we go into the relaxed awareness state. Now, why is that? Have you ever heard the phrase bedtime story? Of course you have. Where did that phrase come from? I'd like to look up where that phrase originally came from, but I can vouch for this. I have a 7-year-old daughter, and I've been reading her stories at night. When she was younger, she wanted a story every night. And when we'd read that story, she'd start to wind down. She'd be ready to go to sleep after that story. Why? Because it puts you into that relaxed awareness state for the brain, where it's much easier to take in that information. Another method that she now uses to go to sleep is she will play little CDs and tapes of stories. She'll put them into her CD player, put them on her tape player, and she will fall asleep listening to that story. Because think about it. You're about to listen to a story. What do you need to do? You don't need to do anything. You just sit back, relax, and take it in. And the brain loves it because both hemispheres of the brain are firing off the more vivid, the more colorful, the more descriptive that the story is. Oh, Grandma, what big eyes you have. The better to see you, my dear. And the wolf huffed and he puffed and he tried to blow the house down, but he could not blow that brick house down. Think of the vividness within those old stories that you remember from your childhood. That relaxes us, that connects to our brain, and it helps us learn and it helps us have a memory of the story. What I'd like to do now is mention that some of this research material comes from a couple books I read. One is called Tales for Trainers, and the other is called Tales for Coaches. Both of them were written by Mary Parkin. Now, keeping that all in mind, you're probably thinking about Jesus Christ and the fact that Jesus used parables to teach people. We can go to the book of Luke chapter 8, and verse 4, and let me just read you something there. It says in Luke 8 and verse 4, "And when a great multitude had gathered, and others had come to him from every city, He spoke by a parable. Now listen to the beginning of this parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Go back to that roaring lion. The thorns choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop, 100-fold. Doesn't that put a mental picture in your mind, a vivid picture of that particular field that Jesus is talking about here and this particular crop that is springing up in that field? Jesus is using the method of storytelling to convey a message to people who would one day understand this. Many don't understand some of the parables, but many do. And did Jesus know that using the vehicle of parables would connect with people's brains much more so than speaking through a strict lecture or a sermon that you've heard that did not use this storytelling technique in it? What we've learned about stories, when we go back to the word story in the Greek, it comes from a Greek word, and that word means basically comparison or analogy. Now, when you think of metaphor, when you think of simile and things of that nature, you really see descriptive words used in those types of things, and a parable is similar to that. Also, the Hebrew word for parable is mashal, and mashal in the Hebrew means a shadow because it is not necessarily the reality of things. It does deal with things that we could recognize in reality, like a crop in the field, like birds coming and attacking the seeds, but the parables were not dealing with reality. They were dealing with things that could become reality. For example, the kingdom of God. Some of Jesus' parables were about that kingdom and what it was going to be like, but he used this shadowy referencing to that kingdom through the use of the vehicle of storytelling. One other example I'd like to bring to you is over in the book of Luke chapter 7 and verse 24. Now listen to this in Luke 7:24. When the messengers of John had departed, he began to speak to the multitudes concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who are gorgeously appareled and live in luxury are in king's courts. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. Now, in reading that, you might be a little confused as to what does Jesus mean by this reed shaken by the wind? What does he mean about going out to the wilderness? What he's alluding to, if you do some research on this verse, he's alluding to an ancient fable that was familiar to the people that he was speaking to at that time. The fable is called the oak and the reed. And he's talking about John the Baptist versus the ruler at that time who was after John the Baptist, who later had John the Baptist beheaded. He likens that ruler to a reed who, when the wind blows, it moves with whatever the wind does. John would be understood as being referred to as the oak. Now, he doesn't mention the oak here, but the people at that time would have known when he mentioned this reed shifting in the wind, the story of the oak and the reed would have come to mind. John was that oak because the oak can be snapped by a hardy wind, where the reed will be pliable with the wind and go any way the wind goes and not necessarily be blown out of its roots. So again, Jesus is using a story that was familiar to those people, and we don't know this unless we do the research on that particular verse. Why did Jesus use these stories? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe he was the creator. He was involved with creation. He knew the human brain, and he knew how to convey his message. That message is this Holy Bible. We need to understand the stories of the Bible in order to obtain eternal life. Learn as much as you can about this holy book. It is chock full of amazing stories that are the truth. I believe they are the truth. As you listen to the armor of God, you hopefully are learning examples of why we believe the Bible is the truth. Continue to read your Bible. Continue to understand these stories, and you one day will be in that kingdom.
Well, there you go. Stories, parables, riddles. I'll tell you what, Mike laid it out for us today, illustrating to all of us just how important pictures are to enhance our comprehension. Obviously, without a doubt, we can see that speaking in these kinds of picturesque forms is a real method to understanding whatever is being discussed. Perhaps therein lies the value of the old adage, a picture is worth a thousand words. And God knew that. I mean, He used this method within the pages of your Bible over and over again, whether it was in the Old Testament talking about David and Goliath, you know, a story about courage, or standing up for what you believe in, as Daniel found himself being thrown in the lion's den because he refused not to pray when he wanted to pray, or his three buddies being thrown in the furnace because they wouldn't bow down to Nebuchadnezzar. These are all stories, my friends, that help us to better understand certain principles in the Bible, characteristics of our character that will help us to be better human beings. Jesus knew it too. Jesus knew it. That's why He talked in parables. Mike illustrated that by the very parable of the seed that Jesus used, or that Jesus used time and time again to illustrate that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, how it starts out very little and grows very big. A lot of these stories help us to better understand the deep spiritual lessons, because we're materialistically minded. We are oriented toward the 3D world. And when we see things in a picturesque form, we can better understand it, better retain it, and remember it for future use in the course of our life. And therein lies the value, my friends, of why understanding things in picturesque methodology is so important. Won't you let us help you to better understand this? Dial now, 888-578-8791. Ask for both of these free offers that we're presenting on today's program. The literature, a booklet called How to Study Your Bible, and a one-hour presentation given before a live audience by a minister named Wayne Hendricks of the Church of God International, titled Parables. Both of them are free, a one-hour presentation and a booklet. Dial now, 888-578-8791, and hit us on our website at www.cgi.org. My friends, this is Bill Watson reminding you always, you keep on that armor of God.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.